The text verses for the sermon this morning comes from Mark 13, verse 1 and 2. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." In Mark chapter 13, verse 1 to 8, Jesus is actually preparing his disciples to accept his coming death and his absence. Jesus is telling them that some things will happen in the new future. He is preparing these disciples to accept the fact that he will suffer and he will die, but that will not be the end. But let us begin at the beginning. Jesus is leaving the temple, and as he is leaving the temple, one of the disciples makes a remark about the excellence of this huge temple building. And then Jesus says, "But this marvelous piece of building is going to be destroyed." The temple they are talking of is, of course, the third temple that was erected in Jerusalem. The previous two were also destroyed by the foes. This third temple was started by Herod the Great. And Herod the Great built this massive building to impress not only his Jewish subjects, but also his allies and his foes. He needed to impress the Jews because they did not like him. They did not trust him because he was only a half-Jew, probably the descendant of a Dehumian, someone, according to them, that's not accessible in the temple of God. They did not like him, they did not trust him, and he did everything in his power to get them on his side. He raised a lot of money, a lot of tax money, to fund his building projects. And this building was started 20 before Christ. And in the time of Jesus, we know this temple was not completely finished. He built it on the top of the mountain of Moriah. And from the bottom to the top, he filled it with stones and marble and gold. And the church historian Josephus tells us that some of these stones were 40 feet long by 12 feet high and 18 feet wide. You can understand why the disciples were impressed by this building. People also say that from afar you could see this temple. We also know the temple was very important to them. To them, the temple was the place where God lived. They thought he was inside that walls. To them, that was the assurance that God was with them. We also know that in their lives, everything in their religious lives, everything surrounded the temple. They started their lives in the temple and they ended their lives in the temple. In Jerusalem, that was the most important building. Now Jesus is saying something shocking. He says, this part of their religious lives, this very important part, this magnificent work of art is going to be demolished. What a prediction. I can almost hear the disciples thinking by themselves, how can this be possible? And you know what? It all became true. Everything happened just as Jesus predicted. It happened at the year 70 AD when it was destroyed by fire by the Roman army under the command of Titus, the son of the emperor, Vespasianus. The Jews rebelled against Rome in the year 66. And from 66 till 70, they rebelled. But this rebellion was crushed by the Romans. And then in Mark, Jesus proceeds from the temple. He crossed the Kidron River to the Mount of Olives, which was on the east side of the temple. And this was appropriate because it was higher than the city. And therefore, Jesus had a marvelous view on the temple. Then his first disciples, called Peter, James, John, and Andrew, asks him in private, "When will these things happen?" And then Jesus responds. He says, not exactly when this is going to happen. He warns them, actually, not to jump to unwarranted conclusions or to listen to false predictions. Jesus is actually telling them, this is not for them to know. Only God knows that. And Jesus makes his point by referring frequently to the Greek word for watch out, blepete, in this chapter. He warns them time after time not to jump to any conclusions. They must rather focus in following Jesus. And then Jesus says to them in verses 6 to 8, there will be things happening like false messiahs, wars, and natural disasters. But still, it would not be the end. What is striking about these predictions is that it comes from several parts in the Old Testament. According to 2 Chronicles, nations will rage war against nations. And according to Isaiah 19, kingdoms will stand against kingdoms. There will also be many false messiahs leading the people astray. And there will be many natural disasters and human suffering. But this will still not be the end. And then to explain this, Jesus uses language from the Old Testament to make his point. The description of labor pains was used to illustrate to the people of the Old Testament the suffering that the humans will endure before the coming of the Messiah. Jesus is telling them, this is just signs and merely the beginning of the end. Jesus warns them not to be blinded by all these events, but to focus on their relationship with him and not to trust human sureties like buildings or human predictions, but to trust God alone. He is in charge. He controls life and death. He controls the future, the present, and the past. He exists forever and ever. And he is the only one that knows when the end will be. But until that time, all the people of faith can do is to trust him and obey him. And this, I think, is a very timely message for us too. Because here, some of us go really wrong. We either live so much in the past or in the future that the present slip by us, often unnoticed. It is then that we forget to follow Jesus here and now. It is then that we struggle to face the sufferings and the hardship of the present with faith, with hope, with love. Jesus warns us too to be careful not to play God and make predictions over the end of time. It's not our business. Jesus wants us to live in the present like people who has a sure future. A future that is infinite and not built by human hands. He wants us to live in the present with faith and hope, despite all the hardship and the suffering that we endure on a daily basis. He wants us to be sure of His presence. Every day, He made sure to send His Holy Spirit to be with us, to nurture our faith, and to keep the hope alive of the everlasting life. And I found this so true the past week when I visited a congregation member, Mrs. Femi McClay. She was so sure of the everlasting life that she could actually say to me when I greeted her, I said to her, I don't think, maybe I won't see you again in this life, but I'll meet you in the life hereafter. She looked at me and she said, yes, we'll meet in the life hereafter. She was so sure of this everlasting kingdom that she could say to her children, now greet me and let me go. I'm tired. I'm ready to go to my Father. This is how we as Christians must live our faith. Jesus also teaches us that nothing is impossible for God. He is in control. He can allow a temple building to be destroyed, although in the thinking of the disciples, this was unthinkable. God is in charge, and He alone knows when the final hour will strike. All the things that we experience, like wars, famine, poverty, sickness, and false prophets, are only labor pains. And to me, this personally is a very striking metaphor, because it's during the birth process that you realize vividly that no human is in charge but God alone. It is then that I experienced, of course as a bystander, that the person who is giving birth has no control. But of course, I have not been through labor myself. And I duly admit that according to Nanda, I have no idea what a painful process this is. I think the same is true of life. And I think this is exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us. Life is not simple. Life is often a painful process of dying and parting, a constant struggle that is impossible to endure without the guidance and the presence of the Lord. May we today listen to the warnings of Jesus and live by faith every moment of every day. Altar, may this day always remind you of the love and the mercy of God. And may your journey be with God every minute of every day till He calls you home. Amen.